you. Hi, my name is Deb Winchell, and my question, thank you. My question is about gravity. I listened to the channel about polarity and the galactic core and how it's set up, which I would love a review for as well. But it sounded like the gravity issue, that he had some sort of a secret or something when he was talking about it, and I would love to know a little bit more.
Thank you, and I'll make this short. Not everybody's interested in the science, but science is part of what Kryon talks about. There are probably more science-based channels than any other subject, so much so that there is interest in a group of physicists. I've got actually a couple of them, and also inventors that are either wanting me to talk to them or they've interviewed me already and we're working on these kinds of things. So on the gravity issue, yes, there is a secret. And it's not a secret because Kryon has been talking about it a very long time. He begs us to understand physics above physics. What we know and what we deal with is only the physics that is linear that we can see and work with. Now, a quantum physicist, and they've been around since the 40s, starts to work in areas that are distressing to linear physicists. Even today, it's a bit distressing. This all comes into the answer to your gravity question. It really does. There's a famous group of debates between Einstein and the beginning of quantum physicists. And the debate goes like this. Einstein doesn't like the beginning of study of quantum particles at all because there's no rules. And what he sees is contrary and counterintuitive to what he believes. And he says when he starts to see what quantum physics looks like, which looks like everything in a circle, there's no beginning, there's no end, there's no steps, there's no linearity, he made this famous statement. He says, God does not play dice. That's what it looked like, chance. Chance. That's how bizarre quantum work looks to a linear physicist. So Einstein had trouble and never was on board with the idea of quantum physics. Kryon is saying, all that you are about to discover, including this whole thing on gravity, all of that is in the quantum realm. Even what Vera Rubin brought as an astronomer when she discovered that all of the stars go around the same speed of a galaxy violated completely Newton and Kepler's laws of gravity, universe of gravity. And she was called then the inventor of dark matter, because that was then the excuse, that was the Newtonian excuse to push in matter that should then correct everything that she saw, instead of saying, hey, maybe there's a new law. What Kryon has said is what we have not discovered that is so obvious is the missing laws of physics. Every physical law before that we have has got two parts, positive and negative, strong and weak force. So if you study physics at all, we have four laws and they have two parts. They're all strong and weak, strong and weak, strong and weak. Kryon says there's two missing. And in those two, you're going to find mass. Mass is something we just take for granted. Mass, the density and the size and the weight of something, loosely, would be its mass. Then we say, okay, you got something this big, and it has this much gravity pull, whether it's an asteroid or even a small rock. And that then becomes a physical law, and you write it down, and you move on. Now, we didn't do that in chemistry. You realize we discovered the elements, and then we discovered how can we alter them. And then that alteration became a lot of things. It became how we live. It became everything, you know, that in your kitchen. It became drugs. It, you know, we took the elements, and we then combined them and worked with them and all of this. But in physics, we completely just ignored it, and we saw what the laws were, wrote them down, and moved on. Kryon says, you do understand, don't you? All of it is variable. All of it. And then he reminds you, he says, Tesla had all of this stuff happen in his workshop in Colorado Springs, where, and if it's still there as a museum, you could see the pock marks in the ceiling where stuff took off the bench and hit the ceiling. what he was working with was the alteration of mass. So in other words, using magnetics in a very special way, you can alter the attributes of mass. Cryon says it's called designer mass. There's actually another word he's used too, which you would think would be anti-gravity. It isn't. You're just manipulating, designing the attributes of the physics in something that is mass. And then he goes on to say, those of you interested in UFOs, isn't it interesting the way you have observed them to fly, if you want to use the word fly? And he says, they're just moving a dial. And what they are doing is adjusting the mass of the vehicle to that which is the planet. And they go like this, and it goes fast. They don't have to go like this or anything. It's just, phew, phew, phew. They're just altering the mass. And this, Grinus says, this is the secret for massless objects. It has nothing to do with anti-gravity. And then he said, isn't it interesting that in a gravity situation, all you have is the positive. All you have is attraction. What about the other side of it? There's always a plus and a minus to every single physical law, and you've ignored the minus side of gravity. You see where I'm going? So this is next. He says, these things are quantum, meaning that the discovery of altering mass will be in the quantum level. And we're using the word quantum poorly. It's become a buzzword for multidimensional things. They're almost all the discoveries we're going to make from now on that will help humanity in a great way will come from this area that is not linear in the quantum area of study, both in physics and other things. So that's the secret that he was alluding to when he talks about gravity. He says, you're just writing down the rules and you're not understanding that they can all be adjusted, just like you did with chemistry.
So next question from this side of the room.
Thank you. My name is Chris. I'm from Bend, Oregon. As a former minister, I have a few notions that I'd like to put to bed. Forgive me if my question sounds a little bit smart-ass, but the Hebrew and Aramaic scriptures, please explain Jehovah.
I can't. Cryon has not spoken of the explanation or even used, I don't think Cryon has actually used the word Jehovah in channeling. Sorry. Yahweh.
Yeah, Yahweh, and then it was translated into Jehovah, but okay. You know, that's what I grew up with.
Correct. When, easy, and it may not satisfy from a ministerial point of and the law of what you've learned. The word Yahweh is even not one that is not spoken often because it was not supposed to be spoken because it was so precious. And that is the context in when Cryon has used it, showing its preciousness. And he'll use Yahweh in the same context as spirit, as God. And that is how he's used it. So it intellectually doesn't go in the same strata that you probably have learned as a minister, but that's how Cryon uses it. So that's the best I can go. How does that feel? Go ahead. Yeah.
Thank you. Being introduced himself as Jehovah mm-hmm. to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob.
Yeah.
He also described himself as a jealous God, and vengeance is mine. I will repay. So I know Cryon's addressed this, you know, the notion that that's all human perspective, but even the number of the personalities of the Bible, Jesus, Jeremiah, etc., the J part
all
was
those J's
referencing to Yahweh or Jehovah.
Yes.
And I was wondering, who was this being, and what was it that he was trying to convey mm-hmm. in his personality in those
I got that. And
times.
So I'll say it's probably not any of those. It's more of a feeling of sacredness for the Creator. That's probably what. So without the minutia. The only time that Cryon has ever gotten into the minutia is so controversial when he talks about Joseph, uncle of Christ, and what happened in the crucifixion, but not then as much as even what happened before when he took him to England and they were in the tin trade and things of this nature. That flies in the face of a lot of the history that we've been taught. That's about the only time we've gotten into the minutiae of that. So, answer that. Yahweh is almost always used by crime as a sacred substitute because it was a word you weren't supposed to say. That's the sacredness of the Creator instead of the people. I'd love to know more about the people because I have a feeling, based even upon the Nag Hammadi experience and the scrolls that they found there, that there's a lot more to the story than we even know about everyday life and who was who and what they were doing. That's those are the Gnostic Gospels. I know you're probably familiar with that the church says don't exist. So, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Kathy. I guess this is a scientific question. I was at a conference maybe 5 years ago and was with blessed to be with a couple that work for NASA. They kind of have their own underground group to tell, because you're not allowed to tell the things you really know. And at that time, they said in 15 years, which would be about 10 now, that we would be going into a mini ice age, that we need to prepare ourselves, get off the grid. I'd love to know what Kryon has to say about this.
That's a big, that's a subject that Kryon has talked about since 1993. The initial almost 30 was 26, maybe 25 years ago, when Kryon started saying there will be massive weather shift coming. And he said where it rained, there would be no rain. Where there was no rain, there would be rain. That was the extent of it. And then about a decade or so ago, Kryon said, get ready for the mini ice age. Now, this has been an ongoing message, channel after channel. This is one of the things that's going to be very valuable when we finish the indexing, that they'll all come up at once, and you'll be able to see. And a question like you asked there, because you're asking it, you probably have not seen the myriad of channels that Kryon has given about the upcoming cold spell. And what Kryon basically says is not going to kill you. What he's telling you is that Gaia, the planet, goes through these cycles on a regular basis, and there is all kinds of evidence, mostly coming out of places that are not the United States, that show this. Now, right away, you're going to say, why aren't we having this kind of information that it's a cycle, you didn't cause it, here it comes again? And the reason is because politically, it's not popular. In fact, politically, it's death. If most of these scientists who are meteorologists or what are working at some level for universities, they get grants from, they have to be careful. And if they are going to tell it like it is, using tree rings, ice cores, coring, of all of the things that we have at our disposal to see if it's a cycle or if we caused it, they're not talking because they'll realize we didn't cause it. It's happened before. In fact, the very attributes we're starting to see with the melting of the glaciers and the ice caps and all like that is absolutely common to the planet and has happened over and over and over, but never while we were here. You see this? So the space between the cycles is a lot longer than that which is the beginning of humanity that has been recorded. So we weren't doing much recording maybe 1600, 1700 years ago. We didn't have YouTube. We didn't have the kinds of recordings we have now. But the Earth did. And that's the ice cores, where you core the ice and see what the weather is. The thing that Greg Braden brings to this party is full agreement with everything Kryon talks about. Absolute 100% full agreement. To the extent, and this is controversial, talk to Greg Braden, that the ice core samples specifically, which capture the atmosphere as well as the temperatures, show an increase in carbon dioxide levels at every single cycle, even when humans were not here. So this now paints an entire different picture. So here's what Kryon says. It's going to get colder. Now, we've got a really good snapshot of that the global warming people just shudder with this year. What was it called? Polar? Somebody? Polar vortex. Now we started to see temperatures coming down into the states from the polar area with temperatures that were so unbelievably low, we'd never seen anything like this before. I put out a bullet from you know, what Crian has said. It says, well, here it comes. And that's not going to be a onesie. That's going to be regular. It may not be next year, but these things creep over time, and Gaia is slow. So the actual forecast, and Monica, help me, was it 30 years or so that we're going to actually say, okay, now we know it's getting colder?
It was a channel given in State of the Earth report, given in Yellowstone National Park.
She's
and
scary.
The date from that said it was going to be 15 years
15.
From that time. And I think that Yellowstone conference was about 2 years,
2 years ago,
now. So,
and that was not when the ice age would be here as much as when you would say and admit, okay, we got it, it's getting colder. We would see that.
And if I can get esoteric now, we didn't cause the global warming and the ice age, but Crian says, because of our decision collectively to stay on the planet and pass the marker, we advanced the timing of it. It was going to happen anyway. We advanced the timing of it because the whole purpose of this is a refreshing and a renewal of the life in the oceans, because we need food and resources to feed the blossoming population that's happening on the Earth. So that's the esoteric portion of it, because Gaia is so linked with humanity's consciousness that the shifts and changes are because of our transition collectively, our consciousness, our evolution. Beyond all odds, humanity is evolving into a new type of human nature. And that's the reason.
There's been some really good articles that I was handed, and Greg was part of this too, showing where the life in the ocean actually comes from, and it's mostly Antarctica. And there's a lot of nutrients and life that comes through a current that's actually very, very deep in the ocean that feeds the shoals and all these. It's very complex, and temperature is critical on all of these. And instead of seeing a dying ocean, Crian says it's alarming to you see all of this stuff that's going away and dying and melting and rising. And he said, I'll never forget, this says that if you have a fish tank, you know you change the pH, you change the temperature, you do all these things, but eventually you got to change the water. And we can't do that. So the cycle is to renew all of this, and it will return. And again, the evidence is it's happened before, and it's returned. I can remember when we were in Alaska, and we were talking to it was an indigenous, and they were discussing, and you can tell me correct, discussing how the last cycle of glacier melting and advancement actually wiped out some villages or something they had. They've seen it two or three times, the indigenous, and they record it in the memory, in the oral tradition, and give it back. So they've seen this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. So next question in this.
So this is going to fall into the esoteric question. And yesterday I was up on the mountain. I was drawn up there. And I would hear the wind go through the trees.
Can you hear me?
The wind go through the trees. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, reflecting back to the Pineal Tone Choir, that, and the people who don't know the choir, we do a wind noise. And I said to myself, oh my God, is this a light language or multidimensional language that is speaking to us outside of our consciousness? My intuition says yes, but I'd like confirmation. Thank
you. Let me tell you something that I feel about this. Every so often in my career, we have been able to sit at the feet of an indigenous shaman, whether that was who would open up and talk, and whether that was Australia or whether it was in North America, whatever. I had a couple of them even before I met Monica. And they would, I would sit and just listen. Typical of shamanic verbiage, they'd be all over the place. They weren't given a lecture or a sermon. It was almost like they were channeling. And I'm gonna tell you, the wind to them is music. And they can tell by how strong it sings to them. They know what's coming because the wind sings to them. It's so important. And yes, I can remember when we were, and I think Greg and Janice were there, giving a channel, the first one we gave outside at the Grand Canyon, the lip of the Grand Canyon. And we were in channel, and for whatever reason, this very, very still day, up comes the wind, and you can hear it all through the trees during the channeling. And then we stopped, and it stopped. When we went to Monument Valley, one of the things that was so profound the first time was the lack of wind. It was so quiet that most city folks had never heard, quote unquote, that quietness. And so the lack of wind also speaks. So the next time you're anywhere where it would come up or go away, ocean will talk the same way. And if you speak at length to Jan, when you meet him and you see him, there are things that happen in the ocean that target what's going to happen next, where the dolphin are, all of these things, the same kind of things, real subtle things we just take for granted. The way the current moves, the way the water looks, and all these things. But an indigenous has lived with this for 1,000 years or more. And again, when you sit at their feet and just listen, pretty soon you realize they're speaking a language we'd never heard. And we don't even know. The light language? Yeah, probably.
And the only thing I'll add to that is there's been a book written by an Australian author. Her name is Lynn Kelly. She's written a book called The Memory Code, and it's talking about non-literate societies. It began with her original search for Indigenous in Australia and how they can tell her about the animals. That's what she was writing about. But it went to a whole new topic about how you can have 40,000 years of oral tradition. It's called orality, and it's passed down through verbal communication in very restricted ways, initiated. And she actually talks in the book that when you have the wind, it makes a different sound for every species. So they can do a species identification, standing in one area, and identify what trees, how they're in flower. So much information, like a bird caller will go out and it will identify, oh, okay, that's a cockatoo calling, there's a magpie, there's a butcher bird. You can hear their call and know who's in the area. They take it one step further. They can hear the wind in the branches and vegetation and identify what plants are in the area. Yeah. So, and it's something that's carried within the Indigenous and when they pass that down. So,
Before another question, and I wanted, do you mind if I just continue just a moment on the weather change? Okay, because what I want to tell you, the reason that Cryon is bringing it up, I mean, why would Cryon bring this up? And the reason is because we are involved in that our system of delivery of electricity is grid-based, and it's also designed for the weather that we have, basically. We are slowly outstripping that, and some of you know this because there'll be rolling blackouts during extra hot areas or something, and so we are not keeping up with it. Can you imagine what would happen if suddenly it changed dramatically? The grid would break, and it has, and it's had a lot of experience breaking in places like Montreal and in big city areas where when it does, your heat is gone. And shut-ins, those seniors who can't move or go, especially with freezing rain and some of these temperatures that I want to call it the polar vortex, I want to call it the polar express, the polar vortex had, it's tough to even open the door. I mean, this is a unbelievable cold, and they die. They just, you can't get electricity, you can't get heat. So that is the purpose. It's humanitarian information, and it's double-sided. One, if you live in a cold area, I talked to somebody from Michigan, I know. If you live in a cold area, that would be Michigan, and it would be North Dakota, these places, almost all of Canada, and we've got Canadians here, that normally you get into the Celsius minus 21, real strong below zero stuff. It's going to get a lot worse, and you've never seen these things. When pipes freeze, they're going to all freeze, no matter what you're going to put in them. The electricity is all going to go off. It's because the grid won't support it. So the answer, Cryon is saying, so if they don't come up with new electricity generation, I'm getting there, Quine says, you have a wood-burning stove. Now, it's illegal to burn, have a wood-burning stove and use it in the states, in so many states right now. But Quine says it's not illegal to own one. You could even call it an antique. And then you'd have wood next to it just because. Nobody's going to get you in trouble for saving your life. Any way you can make heat, because it's coming. Now, for those who are living in Florida and all of these kinds of things, not so much. We're talking about the places that normally get cold. Now, I'm looking at you, Diane, Marcus. New York City is among those places that get really, really cold. And you're gonna have to do something. I mean, I even saw a visualization of maybe putting a dike around it, because it's not that much above sea level at the moment. So the whole city could be flooded with just a couple of feet more of the ocean coming. So these are the kinds of things that Quine has said to look at it now. Now, when you go turn the page, we have right now, and it's happening, and I know it's happening because I talked to the inventors. We actually have something coming that is going to revolutionize the production of electricity. And it's going to be micro and macro. So Quine says it's going to be so profound and so simple. He talks about the fact that you have stacked, you have magnets that have all of this amazing push and pull. And they last for thousands of years. They don't atrophy. They don't get, there's no law of diminishing returns or anything. A magnet is a magnet. It's going to stay there. If you have an array of magnets cleverly put together, turning, they'll push and pull on each other forever. That turns a wheel. And the wheel could be this big or it could be enormous. And it'll go forever. And that's without any fuel at all. Do you understand what I'm saying? And Quine says, this is coming faster than you think, especially in the small area, and then it'll be winding up, so that individual homes and neighborhoods can have their own electricity production in just a very, very small footprint. One of these things that's always going, no matter what the weather is or anything, it's just always going. Because I'm a nerd, I like the idea that Quine has talked about, that he said there's the end of batteries. And the reason, because look at, for instance, most of you have a phone. So you'll have a personal phone of some kind. Imagine instead of a battery, as a tiny little electric producer, always churning out trickling electricity. And you'll say, trickling it to what? A battery? And Quine says, this is an area, and I don't even know what inventors call it. There are inventions coming you don't know you need. Because you don't have the main invention. For instance, if you don't have any idea about internet, you wouldn't know what Wi-Fi was, because it's a derivative of the invention of the internet. You know what I'm talking about? So if you were going to have to talk to a native person who hadn't been here in a time machine or something, you talk about Wi-Fi. Oh, excuse me, you have to talk about internet first. Oh, excuse me, you have to talk about computers first. Oh, you have to get electricity. In order to get to five inventions beyond what they know, we're going to have one of those. And Quine says it's going to be called the advanced cap. And what that means is the absolute control of something called capacitance. Now, I'm in electronics, and I know these things. Not a battery, but an elegant way of keeping electricity. Not a storage, not really. It's physics. And that'll be in your phone, too. So it's always charging, so you never plug it into anything, ever. That's coming. I mean, it's closer than you think. And then that then goes into non-grid electricity, off-the-grid electricity for neighborhoods, for homes. It has to be. And Quine said, it's already actually here. It's just a matter of getting it produced. And people will say, and here's the difference. Can I just tell you the difference between old energy and new energy, as far as I'm concerned? And old energy would say this: okay, you've got a new invention, it's going to put the electric company out of business. What are they going to do? Buy it up and hide it, right? Not anymore. For many reasons. First of all, you've got a little higher thinking going on, and they're going to look at it and go, we can sell this. We've got all of the customers ready to go. They're already paying us. So why not bring in something that makes sense, that's advanced, and we also know that building a new substation costs this much. So why not put that into the invention and all? Do you see where this is going? So it's going to make a little more sense. And it never did before. Because the way they worked everything before is, we've got this, don't bother me with it. We're just going to crank it out and do more of it. Even though it's old and doesn't work, we're going to crank it. Even if it doesn't make sense, we're going to keep doing it. Kind of like the electoral system that we got with horse and buggy days that's still here. Do you want to count the presidents who did not get the popular vote? Do you know Obama didn't? This is crazy stuff. So when we have the ability to poll everybody, and we do, and it's through the internet that people don't want to trust, but now we even have through blockchain, we have the security that can't be broken, brand new stuff. And yet, every single time when we do an election, somebody says, we ought to replace this system because it really isn't a public, it's not giving us the whole picture. It's just, it's like crazy stuff. It never goes through. Did you notice? It's the same thing, because we're stuck in paradigms that are dysfunctional and don't make sense. Greg Braden, I keep bringing his name up because Greg is not a channeler. He's a scientist. And when we're talking about these kinds of things, he'll stand up and give a whole hour and a half on it as to why, how, and what's going on. And this is what I really love about Greg, is he's so, he takes it to the level for the common person. And if you're here and you want to be here instead of being a drag along, then you're into esoterics, and you're one who will understand what we're talking about. If you're a drag along, you're probably still rolling your eyes. I mean, the whole idea of this Stargate and the whole thing that we do. So I just wanted to say that.
So hi, I'm Angus. And when the Palladians were corporeal on the planet, did they eat food, or were they sustained just by air and like sourced energy?
Well, Cryon's never specifically talked about what they ate, but if we interpret what we've been given, they were here corporally, so they had biology that they had to work with. So they would have, I assume, have to eat food, which the Lemurian men went out to gather and cook for them. I like that part.
It probably was mostly fish.
Yeah.
And not really, and this is what, and so yes, there is, while they were corporeal, they were indeed nourishing a corporeal body, but there's more, there's something else. You can say it.
So Cryon has talked about how once in a while he mentions how there's those that only breathe air and they don't even eat food. So in my opinion, with the Palladians' really elevated consciousness, that's what they would have been doing even incorporeal. And when they're not incorporeal, obviously that's not even...
I think that your intuition is correct. I think that if you take a look, and we could, and if we wanted to, in the minutiae of their diet, it would be vastly different than anything that would sustain us. The breatharian, I only met one breatharian, and I wouldn't recommend it for our culture and our consciousness at this point. But that's true, that they can sustain themselves only with air. They don't move very fast. But it works. And there's some other things that that were hinted at in India that we have seen where we have people who are not eating at all and sustaining from year to year to year. So yes, but back to that original question, I like it because this is the substance, truly, of Monica and Amber's book, which is the minutiae of what happened in Lemuria. Well, and there's one missing thing. And I know it because when I channel, I am giving messages, and there's a corner over here that Cryon is showing me stuff that I'm not talking about. And it enhances what I'm talking about, but sometimes it's never channeled. The high consciousness that they were at allows for the manipulation of physics. So I'll just give it to you. The story of the loaves and the fishes is in there somewhere.
And just to continue with the Pleiadians corporally, in Lemuria they were able to extend their biological lifespan way beyond even what Kryon tells us we can do, which
the humans were.
Is we're given, Kryon says, you're designed to live 900 years, but you have a program that ages your cells instead of going back to the original blueprint. But the Pleiadian star mothers were able to extend that even further. In Lemuria, they had the Temple of Rejuvenation, which was using magnetics and a few other things in a super cold area. But they're still here on the planet because they shifted. This is really hard for our linear brain to get around, that they shifted from a corporeal body into consciousness. When they came to the planet, they volunteered and knew that they would be here forever, never leaving the planet. And many of them from Lemuria went to the nodes on the planet. Surprisingly few stayed in Lemuria because when it went under, it was drastically smaller than the original size, and obviously the population would be so minimal. The purpose of them being in that place was taken over by going to a node where greater population of humans were. So that's probably a little bit more information than
and
we
then
needed.
Just let me give you the snapshot. If you haven't heard it before, the Global Consciousness Project, performed at Princeton University and the experiments at HeartMath Institute, and this is over a decade ago, all proved that consciousness is energy. So physics had to agree because of these experiments that were done. If you haven't heard about it, now's not the time. But I can review it to anybody who hasn't, and we present it quite often in our seminars. So does Greg Braden. So the basis is consciousness has now been shown to be energy. Soon as you do that, now you have to treat it like energy. What do we know about energy? Energy cannot be destroyed or created. The first law of thermodynamics. So the idea that consciousness could contain perhaps life, that was the channel last night, and sustain itself is exactly what we're talking about.
So next question from this group.
Hi, I'm Tina. And you mentioned something yesterday that I was hoping that you could expand on if possible. And that is, for those of us who drain batteries and mess with computers and the like, turn out streetlights.
I know so many of you who do, and that's what made me feel fine. Because if I was the only guy, and the reason I don't come out and say those things publicly, and I mean like outside of conferences, is because that instantly would identify me to conspiracists as an alien. And that's dangerous because it makes me different and dangerous and all those things as a channeler. I don't want to be any of those things. Kryon is a very loving message. So when I hear that other light workers have the same attribute of draining batteries, I know that it's common, more common than you think. So it has to be our energy then interfacing at some level with the whole process of the storage of electricity. And it's probably just physical. It's probably just an energy exchange that this is causing the battery to drain faster. I don't suppose you've seen it or not. You deal, Greg, with you've got meters on your wireless batteries where you can see that area of how they are full or not. And when you have conferences that are spiritual, is it true or not that some will drain those a lot faster? You can just watch it go down.
Greg Braden.
Right.
A minister.
And minister, yes, right.
Name other names, but you can see the degradation of the voltage going down.
Mm-hmm.
Not like that, but you can see it.
Maybe 15 minutes or so, it'll lose a bar.
And sometimes it can come back if you take it out of that person's hand.
Yes. So you see how common this is and how, and I turned to Greg because he has the meters to watch it with performers, and he often does conferences that are spiritual like this. So it's more common than you think. Now, what do we do about it? And the answer is nothing. We just keep chasing, replace the battery.
Wait for the new invention, right?
Yeah, and if you're driving along and the street light goes out, All you can do is go, well, there goes another one. But basically, if you're looking to stop it, I would say don't. This is part of the consciousness raising and the attributes. The paradigm of higher consciousness may be a different kind of energy. Maybe that's why Kryon says batteries are leaving too, because we might be not be able to interface with them either. So.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Katerina, and I'd like to stay on the topic of us as humans at this time. If Kryon discusses anything as to how to support our bodies in this change, in this shift, I noticed that my body is getting leaner, I'm looking younger, there's like a reverse going on. And I was wondering if there's anything that Kryon talks about that could support our evolution as humans on this planet right now.
There really are two things, and this is Kryon 101. I can't tell you how many years ago that Kryon said, you must start talking to yourselves. Okay. And the reason I remember how many years ago is we used to have a gal who transcribed the channeling. And she was not metaphysical. She was just a transcribing person I hired. And I remember it was, oh man, it's just 20 years ago. And I would always have to correct the transcriptions because it sounds like talking to yourselves with a V. And I said, no, it's talking to yourselves. So this is how I know how long it's been. The update of that truly is Kryon is a plea that says, and Marilyn talks about this too in all of her exercises and work, is that really truly what comes out of our mouths and what comes out of our consciousness that's habit is listened to by our bodies to such an extent that we may be giving instructions and not knowing it about how old we are, what's going to happen, what we expect. Even small things, this is where affirmations come in. Basic answer to your question, truly, consciousness is everything. We can youth by instructing the part of our body that's the youth template not to count the days. Now, we had a channeling very recently about that. Was it last week? Was it in Philly? Do you remember? Okay. And Kryon got so specific. And I love the example he gave. He said, humans, just off the street and everything, and maybe us, we're born, we're raised, we're here, and we kind of look down at our bodies at some point and go, says, well, I hope you guys all make it. And we are taught that's correct. And you see that all of the ads for the drugs are going to help us make it for every single organ and the heartbreak of pimples and all of these things. That you see, have you seen the ad for the pimple medicine? And have you read the side effects? One of them is death. I mean, this is crazy. And they're saying it with a smile. They cause death, but don't worry about that because we are programmed. Bruce Lipton talks about this all the time. You watch these things or not. We're programmed to what we're supposed to feel like at a certain age. You know, and this is all that, and that is when you disconnect this head from here to everything else. And we do that. So we live up here. Most of our senses, not all of them, they respond here. And you know, your smell and your sight and all of these things and the way you express yourself, it's all up here. We don't talk from our elbow. So that's why you don't really connect. And Kryon says the connection is the key. If you were to start talking to yourselves like you were ordering from a menu, and you don't ask, you instruct. It's almost like a stadium of trillions of entities, and you're in the middle of the stadium, and the spotlight is on you, and you're telling them what's next. What would you say? First thing I would say, stop aging. If you don't do that, all of these parts will have no communication at all, and will just do their best freewheeling on their own. And that freewheeling includes disease and whatever you want to call it. If you are in touch with consciousness on all of them all the time, you are starting to direct your health, how you age, all of these things, and especially the ability to heal. And I don't necessarily just mean healing of disease. Consciousness, grief, any of these things can be tempered and healed. Joy. Yes, I know you were out of sync with the microphone and everything else, but what did you say? Teeth? Teeth. T-E-E-T-H. They're part of everything, absolutely. You want to know something really profound? Biological decoding with the teeth only will give a tremendous amount of information about you, your life, your parents, everything. This is all related. Absolutely your teeth. Yeah, and you should ask Monica a little more about that, because she took a course that was really profound that I saw some of the notes that she had taken. So the answer is, and I know I'm spending too much time on this, we have got to get on a program that talks to the cells on a regular basis. What else can you do? Just about everything. Nutrition, weight, all of it. It's a mindset of you talking to your cells, and it doesn't happen fast. Is that all right to say? Because there's a biological process that you got to buy into. How long does it take to heal from a broken bone? 6 weeks, maybe? Was that that's if you've got medical people here, you put a cast on. That's about the minimum I would ever have for when you take certain supplements or when you start programs or affirmations. People want it the next day, just like, you know, you take an aspirin, you feel better. And that's not the way this works. We're dealing with profound things in our body, and for these things to start changing. Now, you mentioned something. You said you were, you felt, yeah, leaner. That's a state of mind. You feel leaner. Are you aware that you just said that to us? It's going to start even advancing. You put out an energy in front of all of us, and you told your body exactly what's going on. That is what we're talking about. That is what we're talking about. And we apologize, don't we? We stand up and apologize for so many things. And if we're I don't know, that's the habit of our parents. You know what my biggest one? Something will happen. You know, you have an idea who you are. You go to vacuum the floor, and the bag is full. And so you go down to replace the bag, and it breaks. And then you realize it's broken because something else in the vacuum cleaner is broken. And so you get out a screwdriver, and you try to, and that part breaks. Now you're on a roll, okay? And I'm the one who will say, I knew that would happen. I've just told the universe to bring it on, you know? Now the screwdriver will bend, you know? Do you see where I'm going with this? It's us controlling reality. Did you know that you have the ability to alter that which you describe as chance? You do. That's what that's the Global Consciousness Project at Princeton proved. With these things called random number generators. I didn't really want to get into this, but that's rolling the dice. And you have like 12 stations all over the world rolling the dice, and you come up with all these random numbers. As soon as we got 9/11, for just a moment or two, they all synchronized. They all rolled the same numbers. What did we have on 9/11 that was unique? We had a billion people all at once aware of something, and they had empathy. And that changed chance worldwide. Does that tell you anything about what we might be able to do with our brains for ourselves, about being at the right place at the right time? This is phenomenal stuff. And you can't really tell somebody. I'm just going to have to say it. I do this for a living. I've done this for 15 years or so, where I go from city to city to city to city, and I fly. In that scenario, there are planes that won't fly, there's weather problems, all of these things happen. I have never missed a meeting. Give me the odds that all the planes would make it, or that I would find a way to get there and make every single meeting in 15 years. That's got to be thousands. I bend chance wherever I go. And the funniest part, and Monica has seen this over, the funniest part is when I'm going home is when they break and I don't make it. So the incoming is always fine and the outgoing is not. So it's just almost like it's got to balance out. I am convinced I alter chance. You can too. In the past, I would have said this is too metaphysical. People wouldn't believe it. If it were not for the Global Consciousness Project at Princeton, I would have a chance of getting through to a lot of brains that I am now talking to.
So this side.
Oh. Hi, my name is Renato. I'm from Brazil. I would like to. I listened to so many channeling. There's very little, from what I've seen, talk about the future of corporations, large business, mid-sized business, even. There's this trend going on that I know and I work with, holacracies, companies that don't have any bosses anymore, people work in a different way. Besides that, so my main question is, where is corporation and business going?
This is just happens to be the last question because I'm looking at the clock and I have 36 seconds. I love the question. There's no accidents why you would sit there. We have a good friend, Jorge, in Chile, who is very, very successful as a consultant, business consultant, and his whole basis is conscious capitalism. This would be a new way of capitalism where every single corporation was responsible for what they're doing, not only the products they're putting out, but also for their employees and all that, a much softer kind of capitalism. Now you say, why would that work? Why would anybody do that? Because what we know usually about corporates, all that is what the board says, what the product says, what the prices are, and if you're not doing a good job, you're fired. And so there's not much more than that that we have seen that makes any sense, and also we've gotten a lot of bad feelings about big business. And now Cryan has talked about that, specifically talked about that, just like we talked about it in politics yesterday. And he says that softer, more conscious, capitalistic corporations built that way from the ground up will have the biggest market share because people will see that and buy their products, tied right to sales. And this is what Jorge has shown. In his analysis of certain businesses where they say, what are we doing wrong? He'll come in and show them, you're not taking care of this, you don't care about this, this is not on your mind, you need somebody to watch this or that. And at first, they will throw him out. Then they'll call him back. And the ones who have implemented that, and there are some very big names, very big names, that I can't even mention that I'm not supposed to, but I mean, you know, big names. That are implementing these things and watching it work. That's extremely Cryan-esque, and it's starting to happen slowly. Just as Cryan says, you're not going to be happy with what happens politically either, because it's slow. It doesn't happen fast. But that's the same kind of thing. This is also eventually, because it will be noticed, I'm quite sure it will be on the cover of Time, and you know what's happening with corporations, and are we becoming a softer civilization, and all those. That's in the works. And I want to close this by just telling you that in all of the work that I do, in the channeling, in the Q&A, all of my opinions that I give, and all that, easily dismissed by somebody who is invested in the fact that we are going to hell in a handbasket. And that there is doom ahead. And there's absolutely nothing we can say to any of those people. They'll call me the Pollyanna channel. Mr. Carroll, you're crazy. It's nice to hear, but of course, just read the news. Just look at the news. It's not happening on the planet. Well, it is happening. I know the statement that Cryan made about the Me Too movement and also some of the things that are happening in the church. He says this has been going on for longer than your country has been here. This is the way of it. This is called human nature. And then suddenly, all of a sudden, it starts to show up. It starts to change. It starts to be noticed. Don't you think that that is something you should look at? Why now? And that's the message of Cryon. Why now? Because now we have a new energy starting to occur, and that new energy is causing things, and not just for a room of people like this, but we're talking about the population of our country. And other countries as well. Things are starting to shift and change, and I'm happy to be alive at this time and doing what I'm doing. Thank you, guys.